goes back and forth. But let's turn to Hebrews as we have finished our trip into stewardship, and we're going to return to the book of Hebrews as we work our way through that. We're going to look at chapter 3, the first 6 verses. Chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. And we are his house, if we hold to our courage and the hope of which we boast. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And as we come this morning, we just ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive it fresh and anew. No matter how many times we've read this before, Lord, might it be brand new this day. Father, we pray that you would show us how to apply it to our lives so that we might walk closer with you and know you more. That we might better partake of the blessings which you have for us. That we might better represent you in your kingdom to those who stand in the darkness. That your light might shine and bring them hope. Father, I pray for myself this morning that as I preach, you would bring anointing in your Holy Spirit would fill me and speak through me, that each of your people here would be encouraged and blessed, that no one would walk away from your table hungering after your word, but each one would be filled. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when I titled this and I said Moses versus Jesus, we're not talking about a battle. You know, it's not about a boxing match or a wrestling match or some sort of contest in that, but more of it's a comparison and contrast between one and the other. Now, before we do that, we need to remember who our audience is. Who is the writer of Hebrews speaking to? He is writing to Hebrews, Jews, those who come from the line of Abraham and David, those who have been following the laws of Moses. If you were to ask a Hebrew who is the most important person to ever walk the earth, they would by far and wide pick Moses over everybody else. You know, Abraham's important, but it's Moses that brought the law. You know, the promise comes through Abraham, but it was Moses who actually led the people out of captivity. When they referred to their holy scriptures, it was the books of Moses and the law and the prophets. They call it the law and the prophets, or even just the books of Moses and the prophets. Moses was the one standard to which nobody else could achieve. You think you're as good as Moses? Well, we know that's not possible. Moses spoke face to face with God. Who else does that? Moses went in and spoke in the tabernacle with God and had the Shekinah glory. From speaking with God, he glowed. Okay? We're not talking about the average guy. We're not even talking about the guy who's above average. Moses was the one that the ultimate authority. Moses is the one who handed them the law. So if Moses said it, Moses did it, Moses practiced it, that's the way it's supposed to be. That's what Hebrews thought. That's who are being addressed here. Now, even though these Hebrews are holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, in other words, what we today would refer to as Messianic Jews, they still have the cultural baggage that comes with being raised Jewish, Hebrew. Moses is the man! Now, see, why is that important? Well, people grow up hearing something, it becomes part of their subconscious. I to this day will tell you that Bud Grant is the best coach there ever was. Never won a Super Bowl, but we had the purple people eaters. I can't give you a rational reason why I truly believe that Bud Grant is one of the best coaches ever to be. Because again, as I said, he had several teams that made the Super Bowl, but he never won. But I like him. It's what my dad thought. Oh, is that important? Yeah, it is. What mom and dad thought, what grandpa thought, great grandpa, everybody's telling you, Bud Grant, he's the man. Moses, he's the guy. You hear it. And it sits back there. Now you hear the gospel message. Jesus is the Lord and Savior. Yes, I see how I fulfill Scripture. I accept Him as my Lord and Savior. But next thing I know, as I'm going through life, I get everybody saying, well, what about Moses? Well, Moses, and, Moses is important. Yeah, he brought the law. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. But I forget about that because I still got everybody talking about Moses. So what the writer here is saying, people, we need to focus on Jesus. Moses is good. But Jesus is better. If Moses is indeed the best thing since sliced bread, Jesus is bread. Moses is likened to a house in this passage. We see him point out, and a house is good, it's sturdy, it provides you shelter and comfort, and it's necessary. But Jesus is likened to the guy who builds the house. A house will provide shelter for one family. If you like each other, maybe a couple of families. But a builder provides shelter for many families. Not just one, but everyone. The builder provides shelter for everybody. It's not just exclusive. Just my family's in my house. I might let you visit, but you can't stay. It's true. Come on over. 10 o'clock. Don't you think it's about time you're heading home? Well, I don't have any place to go. There's the sofa. You can stay there tonight. Tomorrow you got to find your own house. You need a builder. Somebody go out and build you one. Which has more honor, the house or the builder of houses? The builder of houses. We see Moses likened to a servant in God's house. A faithful servant, the most faithful servant. He's not just a servant. He is the servant of the house. He's the one that if the master of the house wants something done, this is the servant he's going to turn to and said, "You're my go-to guy." Vikings had Chuck Foreman. Oops, dropped it. Bad pastor. Moses fumbled it a couple times. Hit that rock twice to get water. Oops. Guess what? You don't get to go to Promised Land. Oh, bummer. He got to see it. Never got to go in. Jesus didn't have that problem. He wasn't just faithful as a servant. He was faithful as the son of the house is faithful. My dad was at Abbott Northwest Hospital for a few days. And we had some really good nurses. We also had a couple nurses that we weren't so crazy about. But most of them were really good. And they were faithful and they were right there. But I'm my father's son. And I was there. And I'm there right now. Even though I got my wife there. But see, we're one in spirit, so it counts. I am the one that my dad turns to. Because he knows that if he needs it, if he says, "Bruce, this is what I want," I'll do it. I will get what he needs and move what needs to be moved in order to get it done. And if I happen to bruise a couple of people's feelings on the way, I'm okay with that. See, when I'm working for my dad, I take off my pastor hat and I put on my son hat. Looks a little bit more like a football helmet. My family's a little bit vocal. Donna, the first time she heard our family having a discussion, she thought we were fighting. No, we were just talking. Is your dad mad at you? Why? Well, you were fighting. She said, "No, we weren't." Well, no, the one who talks loudest wins. And our family. Granted, it's not the healthiest thing, but we're working on it. But my dad knows he can trust me. It's not a question. I am faithful as a son. Not like a nurse. Oh, quitting time. Gotta go. I got my own family to take care of. Bye. And rightly so. Me? I'm just sitting there. I sit in the chair. I'm quiet. When he wants to talk, I talk. When he wants to rest, I just let him rest. If he wanted it dark, I kept it dark and I sat in the dark. I'm used to being kept in the dark. Okay, that wasn't funny. Oh, yes, it was. So, we see Moses and Jesus being compared here. And none of this in any way, shape, or form is putting down Moses. What it's doing is showing is how elevated Jesus is. That our focus isn't supposed to be halfway up the mountain. It's supposed to be the top of the mountain. That our focus is supposed to be Jesus. He is the one who actually is the builder of the world, the creator of each of us. He is the one who is indeed the Son of God and is faithful. So faithful that He did indeed come as an apostle. Now remember, apostle, we have taken and defined the term apostle to usually mean, you know, these 12 guys that walked around with Jesus that were pointed out, saying, these are the apostles. Apostle means one sent with a message. Okay, we gave somebody a particular message and I sent them out. That's an apostle. God the Father gave His Son, Jesus, a message. The message is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. And it's there for everybody. That's the message. And Jesus was faithful in bringing it, even though it cost Him a whole lot of pain. He had to literally die on the cross for our sins. But He was resurrected as the first fruits of salvation for all who will receive. Moses is great. He brought us the law. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. We need to make sure that we don't allow Moses to usurp the place of Jesus. The bringer of the law is not the same place as the fulfiller of the law. The house is not of the same place as the builder of the homes. The servant in the house is not the same level of faithfulness as that faithful son. Moses isn't bad. Moses is good. Moses is great. He's one of God's chosen servants. He followed Him better than most. But even though Grandpa says he's great, Jesus is better. Kind of like having a discussion of which is the best pitcher of all time. You know, which is the best football player of all time. You know, each generation has its own thing, but here we have someone who actually comes from outside and is much beyond all of it. And that's Jesus. He is above and beyond Moses. Moses is the house. Jesus is the builder. Moses is the servant. Jesus is the son. Let's not allow Moses the improper place. We need to give him respect. We need to receive the word that he brought, but we also need to receive Jesus as Savior, and we need to keep him in that place. Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that He is indeed the one you sent, the apostle, with the message. And that by receiving it, He has become our high priest, one who intercedes on our behalf. And He doesn't enter into your presence and leave in a temporary fashion, but is continually, always present with you, for He is you. Lord, help us to keep Jesus in His proper place. Might we give Him the focus of our hearts and our minds. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.